fucked up this time.
Yeah, don't fuck up.
Alright.
Me too.
I have never liked the box of knives you said was a paradox, because you're kind but withstood a childhood that robbed you blind of love that was safe, and so you learned to fight. I have never liked the box of knives you said was a paradox, because you're kind but withstood a childhood that robbed you blind of love that was safe, and so you learned to fight. I have never liked the box of knives you said was a paradox, because you're kind but withstood a child to the wrong. You cried out love that was safe, and so you learned to fight. I have never liked the box of knives you said was a paradox, because you're kind but withstood a child to the wrong. Still a child. Stuff. It seems like yesterday I called you up. I had a terrible case of the past. I didn't know how to get it off. I didn't know how to get it off. And you took your machete and you sliced through the vines that wrapped around me. And you said, I don't know what I'm doing, so I'll just keep on cutting. It's worth a little blood to get your arms free. I have never liked you.
Starting with a little intensity today, but here we are. And that was Amanda Palmer, if you didn't know, and you're like, what is this? And she's touring with her dad, but the last show you just missed. So done touring with her dad. Today we are here, Sunday. This is Swan.
And this is Nasa.
And you're listening to Ink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Boom.
If you want to join the community or the conversation, we're on socials, radiofreebrooklyn.com. And you can also pledge, you know, help support free independent internet radio and Radio Free Brooklyn /pledge. Yes, all those things. Today we were talking to Alana Massad. Did I say that right?
You did.
That's a pretty easy one. And I like the Twitter blurb approach to introductions, which you have Twitter. So Books, Coffee, Words, Israeli-American writer, queer, The Other Stories founder and host, which is a weekly podcast, and you can listen to it on
TheOtherStories.org or on iTunes or Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are found, basically.
Perfect. And I listen to it on Stitcher, and it's great because then you can just, like, put it in your playlist or also go listen to all the shows that she's ever done, ever.
There's a lot.
And you work in Tiny Shouts, McSweeney's, Hobart, Broadly, and more. Well, you're featured in, I guess, is, and then there's a link for your class, which
yes.
is...
It's a flash fiction class.
Nice.
On Skillshare, yes.
And it's warm.
I need to ask about that.
About the class?
Yeah. Flash fiction? That sounds awesome.
Yeah, so...
Very short.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So flash fiction is just... It's fiction that's... I mean, there are different definitions of it, but it's usually fiction that's under 1,000 words. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's under 500 words, depending on your definition of it. And it's just sort of like it packs a punch. There's some really good flash fiction people out there right now, like Kathy Fish and Bud Smith and some other writers.
Do you know Noelle Sparks?
No, I don't.
Oh, Amber Sparks. I mean Amber Sparks.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I got names confused. There's so many names, you guys. So, yeah, she was on the show a couple months ago talking about her stories. And
does she write flash?
Yeah. Okay. Shorter things. So she's working on a novel just to see if she can do it.
Yeah.
And her last release of short stories was written with a novel intended, but it was like not, it was too long, so she condensed it and then included a bunch of other stories. But yeah, it's a fun show. I'm talking about flash.
Yes.
And writing short things. And yeah. Do you have someone that's like your favorite right now that you're excited about what they're doing?
Someone that I'm reading, in flash specifically, or just in literature?
Let's say both.
Okay, well, in Flash, like I said, there's some really good people out there. There's Robert Vaughn, he's also a poet, but he sometimes writes sort of it's sort of prose poetry that reads like Flash. Kathy Fish, who I think she was the founder of Smoke Long, but maybe she was one of the I don't know. There's some award named after her there. Bud Smith, who writes poetry and really short fiction, and Brian Allen Ellis. There are a lot of people in sort of the indie scene that I really like their work. And in general, in literature, I'm just really excited about a lot of the things that I'm reading now. So Zadie Smith has a new book coming out.
I read Ruby this last year.
Which book?
Ruby?
I'm not sure if that's by her.
Zadie Smith. Oh.
Smith is N.W. White Teeth.
Oh, White Teeth is the one.
Yes.
I saw the cover and I was like, yes. Anyways.
So she has a new book coming out. Kirsten Alio, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, but I just finished her book of short stories, which is amazing. And I'm reviewing that for the LA Times, which is exciting.
Ooh, good work.
Yeah, it's where I was born, so it's even more exciting.
Hey, LA Love.
LA Love.
Is from LA.
I am. I just came back from there.
you're visiting
home. It's not as sweaty down there.
Which is a surprise. Not. You texted me like 30 minutes ago being like, by the way, I'm coming.
Yeah, I realized I didn't like tell you. I'm sorry. It's a pleasant surprise, I hope.
Yes. Oh, surprise. Can you leave? Just kidding.
I mean, sure.
No. So I've had a really busy week and month. I feel like July has been slamming people. You've been busy. I'm like, let's hang out. And you're like,
my schedule is basically
and you're the same. I'm like, hey, let's hang out. You're like,
it's with the work. The work is killer.
So I'm actually mid-process of looking for a poem to start talking about maybe doing a free write. I'm curious for input because I had something in mind, but if there's something that's a poem you've read recently that was that's something I want to remember or whatever, opportunity to call something out.
Me and poet, well, I mean, I really love poetry when it's read aloud. Mm-hmm. I don't really do poetry that I read very much. Although Katie Longafano, who you interviewed last week, 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Yeah. Her poetry is incredible. Are we allowed to swear, by the way?
Yes, please swear.
Oh, okay. It's in-fucking-credible.
This is it. Sorry, someone just texted me about the radio show. So I'm multitasking and things are happening.
Are they texting with an idea?
No, there was a... Never mind.
Oh, it's something completely different. I thought that would be, really great interactive. I'm like, yeah.
What's happening?
This is what the phones
backstory
are good for.
Behind. So I guess I'll call it out. Sweet Darkness by David White. So if you're at home listening, now is a great time to grab some paper and pen. And we're getting set up here. And...
I have pen, but no paper.
Okay, perfect. And I'll just talk a little bit about...
I don't think I have anything, but I have a bra. So
that's helpful.
That is, right? In this situation.
You should write on one cup of the bra and I'll write on the other cup, and then it'll be a piece of performance art.
Yes, and then I can wear it around like a bralette. That would be perfect.
So, it'll be a lit bra.
Yes. And then I can yell at people for staring at my bra.
Even though it would be totally fair. Oh, wait, I do have paper, actually. I just remembered I have a notebook.
Oh, perfect. And Nason needs everything.
Oh, I actually have a pencil. I found it.
And if you're driving, too, you could be okay, I'm going to put the show on pause, but just make sure you come back.
Yes.
And I'm going to do my voice-to-text or voice recording feature on my phone and do a river write for the next 5-ish minutes. So you can talk to yourself for the next 5 minutes or write with us.
Mm-hmm. Or you can record this and then do it when you're not driving, which is any of the... Or wait till Monday.
Don't write and drive.
Don't write and drive. I will take a pen, yes.
Also, don't play Pokemon while you're driving. That's seriously dangerous and stupid.
Someone crashed into a tree. It's really funny.
The stories. Nisa probably knows more of them than
me. My mom has been hitting me with all of them. She's like, this is dangerous. And I'm like, this sounds like any problem with working with your phone and doing other things.
Yes.
Yes. Agreed. Someone's calling the bike shop as well. So our poem today is called Sweet Darkness. And a river right is just like train of thought, flowing, just keep your pen moving type situation. And I'm having the hardest time doing this thing right now. Okay, we might not have music immediately. We'll just have to deal with it.
But we do have the dulcet tones of the phone ringing in the other room.
It's this room. So, quite Sweet Darkness. Music. I'll read a poem. You'll find the line, phrase, rhythm, whatever's standing out to you. Use that as the starting spot and just write and just keep writing. And if you're like, I don't know what to say, write. I don't know what to say. If you think like whatever's happening, just keep your pen moving. And some tricks is you can return to that first line that stood out to you or like go back to the prompt that you pulled from it. Some other phrases that can help you keep going is what I'm really trying to say is wank, blank, or wank. And I remember is a nice place to like keep the flow going. So, Sweet Darkness. When your eyes are tired, the world is tired also. When your vision has gone, no part of the world can find you. Time to go into the night, to the dark, where the night has eyes to recognize its own. There you can be sure you are not beyond love. The dark will be your womb tonight. The night will give you a horizon further than the eye can see. You must learn one thing. The world was made to be free in. Give up all the other worlds except the one to which you belong. Sometimes it takes darkness and the sweet confinement of your aloneness to learn. Anything or anyone that does not bring you alive is too small for you. So go ahead and start writing and I'll find some music. Still finding that last thought, finishing up those last lines. So, part of the liberation is it doesn't have to be good, because we just did it. And there's an invitation to read, and the only thing I will say is thank you. So, if you would like to read, I would be glad to listen.
Sure. I always like reading what I write, even when it's bad. Time to go into the night. Time to be free. To give up all the other world you do not belong to. To focus on the one you are living. Time to remember where you are in the darkness. Time to see yourself clearly with no mirror to reflect your image back to you in the distorted backwards, or is it sideways, way that sheets of reflected glass do. Time to listen to the crickets eating you up from the inside out. The crickets The crickets that aren't tame and musical like those you see in your own world. No, stop. Focus on your own world, the one you are living in. Time to stop regretting the world you do not live in. Time to address your own night, the night of your soul. Time to create a piece of yourself you are proud of. Time to go into the night.
Thank you. And thank you for writing poorly, because that's a good thing.
Thanks.
Sometimes I think if I go back and I can't read it, I'm like, well, I must have been in a hurry to next thought.
Or write poorly like
I was thinking that too. I was wow, swallowing shade.
Oh, no.
Especially since you said you would only say thank you.
And then I'm commenting on it.
No, it's okay.
Acknowledging that river writing can be messy.
Oh, messy. That so, kind of poorly.
Messy okay, handwriting.
Yeah, messy handwriting. Listen to what I mean, not what I say.
Obviously.
Obviously. Step one. Nasa, would you like to read?
Sure. All right.
Might say more than thank you.
Yeah, I know. All right. So I focused on the world was made to be free in as well, but went a different direction. Do you ever ask yourself why it is that animals don't construct the way we do? I used to think they were dumber than humans, or blame it on a lack of opposable thumbs, that magic bit of evolution. But as I watch them, the animals, I can't help but think maybe it's because they know more than us. They have some deeper understanding about how to truly be free in the world. Then I was going to go on somewhere and I got stuck. And then the time went up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not going to comment on it, so I'll just read. When your eyes are tired, I give you permission to close them. I think of the things I did not do for so many years. Swear, cry, then someone gave me permission, and that was all I needed. When your eyes are tired, it makes sense to rest them. I like giving people permission. I like them to be human and wonderful. And that's all I wrote, because I was, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for doing that with me. This is a spontaneous creativity moment.
Yes, I like it.
So I would like to dive in and say, talk a little bit more about your podcast and your love of books and whatever led to that.
Sure. So those are kind of two different things. So the podcast, it's called The Other Stories, and I interview new emerging and struggling writers. So that basically encompasses everyone, because I don't think there's any writer who is very, very successful who isn't also struggling in some way. So I've interviewed both, you know, never before published writers and writers who are publishing their first book and writers who are publishing their fourth book. Writers of all stripes, basically. People who self-published, people who published with, you know, big presses. You can submit. It's theotherstories.org /submit. If you want to. And we're on social media and stuff everywhere. And basically the way the podcast works is a writer will read a piece of their work. So it's either a complete short story or a piece of flash fiction or an excerpt from a long short story or from a novel. And then I will hopefully be able to also sort of reprint it on the website if they give me permission. Mm-hmm. And then I interview them about it. So then we get into chats that sometimes talk about writing and sometimes talk about the writing life, and very often somehow sort of veer into the way writing and social justice sort of have to do with one another, or just, you know, identity stuff, because that seems so that pertinent in writing.
Like, yeah, that's like a main focus, which I appreciate, because it's one of those things that needs to have a bigger voice in the community and in the world, I guess.
Yeah, though I've talked to a few artists recently, a few writers recently, who talk about how writers shouldn't be made to feel like they have a responsibility mm-hmm. In their art, because that sort of makes their art have a message, which I totally agree with. But we're in this time when it feels as if art does have a responsibility in many ways. And it's really hard to sort of, disconnect those from one another.
Absolutely. So I had like the week of Amanda Palmer. I saw her twice. And one of the things I love about her is her like drive, like just to be you, and she's doing her thing, and you're like, I don't know. But she also gives a lot of meaning to art. Like, it stems from something serious, and then it's also like something that feeds souls. So I agree. It's like the labeling of it maybe is like I don't know what I'm trying to say. You said it better. So, but yeah, just that, you know, it's important not to get fixated on like, what is this about? What is it like representing? But it is something that we need to acknowledge, and yeah, whatever. Yeah.
I mean, it's complicated because Amanda Palmer gets criticized a lot by a lot of,
I think you're always going to find that, and you have to push through it.
Of course. Yeah.
And sometimes criticism has value, and sometimes it's somebody being upset at whatever reason. If this good thing happens to you, then there's less like good in the world for me. It's the scarcity thing of like, if you're creating art that's really brilliant, then it's a threat.
Mm.
But I also think that that's the only way to cope with, like, with anything. I mean, with death, with I didn't like geeking out over here. Amanda Palmer did. but I'm losing my train of thought really, really easily today. I lost where I was going with that. But essentially, like, if Trump gets elected was like the gist of it, we're going to need artists and we're going to need music to cope with what's happening in our worlds.
Oh, and my God, yes.
That's what I'm trying to say is, like,
that's one of my, like, biggest fears.
Yeah, it definitely, like, is a real thing, which is, I think, surprising to so many people, but holy cow.
Yep.
We could talk about that all show, but I don't want to. So let's talk about the books that you love. You're wearing a shirt that says, I cannot live without books.
Yes, because I felt like it was appropriate for coming on this show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Even though it's a quote by Thomas Jefferson, apparently, which is also like not great because he's a complicated figure.
Yes.
But it's a nice quote, at least. So I kind of pretend that the Thomas Jefferson part sort of hides under my boob, so it works. So, yeah, I don't know. Books I love. That's a very sort of broad question. I can tell you what I've been reading recently.
Yeah.
So I'm currently reading the new Megan Abbott book that's coming out in, I think, a week?
Coming out
July 26th.
26th.
So in 3 days, actually. Yes. It's called You Will Know Me, and I really like Megan Abbott's work because it's very readable and commercial, but at the same time, if you want to take more out of it than is sort of on the surface, it's definitely there to be taken and to be sort of delved into. So I just finished reading, like I said, Kirsten Alio's book. I finished reading a while before that. C.A. Higgins' second book. She's this amazing, cool physicist, sci-fi writer. And it's all about this, like, rebellion, and it's very cool and sort of very, feels very pertinent to everything that's sort of happening in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
I love the classics. I revere Zadie Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I recently discovered Helen Oyeyemi, who is incredible. She had a new book of short stories out recently, also, and she's sort of very fantastical and cool. And I really want to read Ramona Azubel. I don't know how she pronounces her last name. Her second book, or her second novel, rather, that also just recently came out. Basically, there's a lot of books that I want to read.
The to-read list never gets smaller.
Never.
It's so strange how that happens. And I finally accepted it. And there's, like, catharsis in that, of, like, knowing I will never read all the books I want to read. It's just not going to happen. No matter how disciplined I am, could read 2 books a day, and it still will never go away.
See, if I dwell too long on that,
I get depressed.
Yes, so depressed, because I once actually calculated how many books on average I read in a year, which is also
Goodreads
less now.
Goodreads does that. Have you heard of Goodreads?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not on Goodreads.
I'm not very active on it, but I do like that it's like, this is how many books you read. And I'm like, cool, those are the ones I rated, so I probably read more, and that's a pretty big number.
Right, exactly. And there's the Goodreads challenge, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I calculated that, like, in the rest of my lifetime, I won't be able, like, I will probably only read somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 books for the rest of my life, which seems like an incredibly small number and is sort of... like, the only reason that I would ever wish more immortality upon myself would be more time to read. Yeah. So I could read.
Do you prioritize your to-read list?
At the moment, I read only things that I'm doing for work, which is kind of, it's depressing because it makes it work.
But you're busy, but then comes in waves.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, because I'm a book reviewer and a book blogger, I read mostly what I'm reviewing. So, for instance, the Megan Abbott book that's just open here in front of me is, I'm writing about it for Google. And so it's like, yay, I'm reading a Megan Abbott book. That's good. But also,
I have to,
exactly. Yeah.
Just like, I think that for me, that's like a big thing I've been aware of myself is like, if you're like, Swan, you have to do this. I'm like, now nope. I don't want to.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, I even, like, 3 seconds before, I might have been like, oh, I could do that. And then I'm asked to, and all of a sudden there's this response of, like, you can't tell me what I have to do. And, like,
you're not the boss of me.
I know.
It's painful. I'm the type of person who I need people to be like, this is what you have to do, and that's the only way I get it done.
I think there's both. Sometimes I'm like, can someone just tell me? Like, for instance, talking about writing, like, sometimes I wish someone could be like, Swan, write about this. I'll be like, got it. Like, sometimes you're staring at a blank page and you're like, hee.
That's why I love prompts, though.
Yeah.
I feel like prompts are such a good way to write anything. I mean, I recently pulled up, I was going through, like, a very fallow period in my writing. I still sort of am. But I just went back to my documents, and I have this, like, an in-and-out box, an in-progress box, folder on my computer, and I pulled up a file that just said 1954 nuclear drill, and then I opened it, and the only thing that was written inside of the Word document was 1954 nuclear drill, and so I looked it up because I couldn't remember what it was, and then I remembered, oh, right, in 1954 there was this crazy drill across the United States to see if people were ready in case, you know, the atom bomb dropped. And so people were supposed to go to the shelters at, like, the alarms blared across the country at 10 a.m. And on June 14th, which was, I believe, a Wednesday. And so I suddenly had a story that I was writing because I looked it up, and there's a woman who blocked traffic because she got out of her car in the middle of traffic, which I guess you weren't supposed to do if you were in your car during the drill. I'm not
sure. That sounds like a bad idea.
Right? Yeah. I know. But, I mean, well, 1954, there were fewer cars. But still.
Still not, like.
Not great.
Yeah.
So, the article that I read actually had the street she was on.
Oh, my gosh.
Where there was the pile up. And so I just sort of I was like, whoa, okay, I have a story. It's about the woman who stopped traffic because she jumped out of her car and ran somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe to a shelter, maybe not.
Maybe not.
I love the idea that past you is giving future you writing prompts.
Yeah, that's really great. It also makes me, it reminds me of Cooper Wilhelm, who has a show and was on my show. He talks about the occult and whatnot. You can check out his show. Its name is escaping me, but it's on the live list. Anyways, he often does the Google like random generator. Like, so you can go to Google and like just like Google pull up something. And
oh, the
will.
Like isn't it like there's a I'm name. Lucky or something?
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, well, that's like the first response.
Okay.
Or the is it a Wikipedia thing? It like just pulls up this random Wikipedia page. Because yeah, it might be through Google, I don't remember. Wikipedia. Google Wikipedia random page generator and you'll find something. But just like it'll just pull up this like random thing. I like that. Just research something and then you'll find a story.
Yes, exactly.
Or just like if something sounds interesting, write a note to yourself and then 20 months from now, you'll be like, what is this? Ooh.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So like a time machine, guys, writing.
Exactly.
Anyways, so you had a story there. We're talking about the dynamic of being told what to do and not being told what to do.
Yeah.
I think that for me, I'm just thinking back on myself, and I like both. I like having a prompt, and then I also like, that's one of the things I liked about river writing, or something that's a little bit more like open, is just like, just do something, just write for this amount of time and see what happens.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm part of this collective at the Lesbian History Archives in Brooklyn that meets every Thursday at 7 p.m. It's open to the public, so come on down. We're very cool.
We are friends.
What?
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. But so as part of what we do there, someone different picks out a piece of writing from the archives every week, reads it, and then uses that as a prompt. And then you can either write about whatever you want for 25 minutes.
Or the prompt.
Or the prompt. And it's sort of the same idea of just write, and then you can either share and get constructive feedback, or you don't have to. And
so you said you're going kind of through like a follow period.
Yeah.
So what does that look like for you? Do you write every day, or do you write in bursts? Maybe that's just how you write.
So my goal is always, I mean, I do technically write every day,
mm-hmm.
but most of what I write is for work or emails, or emailing people about podcast. stuff.
Yes. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I write. There's a lot of Facebook messaging, a lot of texting. I'm very much a communicate through written format person anyway. So I probably do write many, many words every day. However, they are not creative words.
Or maybe selfish words.
They're right. Like, yeah.
Necessary words, not like.
Not art words.
Necessary words. So that's just such a powerful phrase. I don't know why I caught on to that.
I like this conversation because, yeah, there are the words that you kind of have to communicate to the whole world. And then there are the words that you're just alone writing for you.
Yeah.
And it's that is like, okay, I am a writer because if I'm alone writing, that's like where I want to be.
Right.
And all the other stuff is there, but I come back to that page and I'm like, oh, yep, I just write.
Right, exactly. But yeah, I mean, I just haven't been, I have a novel that's due, a novel revision rather that's due to my agent, and I haven't finished that. But I just started a class with Emily Schultz online, so that's about finishing your novel. So I'm hoping that'll spur me to actually finish the revision. And I haven't written a new short story in ages, but I now sort of have two that I'm working on. One of them is the nuclear drill one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not, I don't know, I'm not like finding my voice in the novel revision. It just, everything I read back to myself is like, that's terrible.
Yeah, and yet you're on a deadline, so.
I'm actually not. He's just told me to like Whatever.
So do you find that externally imposed deadlines help you or hurt you?
Definitely help me.
And why do you think that is?
Because
I just read this book, Unstuck. So let me explain my question too. And she just goes into a writer's block, which is something that she ended up specializing in, you know, working with like people working on their PhD who sit down and like can't write their thesis. So they're just like, whatever. Or, you know, people who have published multiple books who are sit down and like, so she's like, for whatever reason, you're blocked. And so I'm just curious, like, external deadlines versus just writing. Like, if that, a lot of people are like, I can write if someone else is imposing a deadline, but I wait till the last minute, which is what I do. And, there, and she talks about that's a kind of a block. So,
yeah, I think it's different with deadlines that I get for work stuff. So for reviews or blog posts, with those, the external deadlines are helpful in that I always want to be really early. Mm-hmm. So I end up sent really early means like a day early in like the fast paced sort of world.
But early.
Yeah. So it's still early. So in that way, it's helpful. But with my fiction work, I find it helpful because that means I'm accountable. And when I'm accountable only to myself, then as a creative person filled with, you know, self-doubt and self-loathing and all of the fun
the
neuroses,
<things. laughs>
all of the fun neuroses of a writer, writing just for myself doesn't feel worth it somehow. I have a very hard time with the concept of, personally, I really admire people who are able to do this for themselves. But for myself, I just know that I do not write merely for the pleasure of writing. I don't mm-hmm. write for me. I write to be read.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of that like weird contradiction of the writer's hubris.
Yes.
Because it's
that
sort
is
of like
a strange like state to be in, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Well, because on the one hand, you think, well, everything I write is worthless. Why should anybody want to read it? But on the other hand, you're like, well, if nobody reads it, it's not worth anything even more.
Hmm. Because that's something, I mean, I took a class last year with Gotham Writers, and they talked about publishing, and I was like, do we need to focus on that? And he's like, well, eventually, if you are writing something, there will come a point where you want to show it to someone. And I'm like, no. Like, I mean, there's that, like, whimsical, oh, I want to write a book. But when push comes to shove, I have a really hard time, like, putting something out there. And I don't know if that's just, like, a different perspective, or if that's like a struggle with something that is like
I don't know. I remember us talking about something similar to this with your artwork,
mm-hmm.
Where you said something like, you know, oh, I don't call myself an artist because then it makes it too serious and too much responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. I feel it's like it's not It maybe isn't necessarily that you won't in the future want to show people your writing, but at the moment it's still in that
so
sort
private,
of
yeah.
Right, it's in that
well, and
private
I think
phase.
I'm just getting to the phase where like I am a writer because a writer writes and I'm writing. Like I'm
exactly. That's all that defines a writer.
Yeah.
I think Neil Gaiman is one of those people who's like a writer is someone who writes. So if you write, yep, you're a writer.
Yeah. And it's so funny because I think that people are afraid to claim that because they think it means something more than that.
Oh, it took me years to be able to say that I was a writer.
Just tell people, yes. So I, all part of the process, perhaps.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing that side of your writing and being real about it.
Yes, I'm a, you can't see listeners, but I have a big sort of place that's bleeding on my wrist because that's where my heart lives. And it just sort of like sits there and drips a lot.
That's nice.
Really?
It's a little messy sometimes.
A little. Yes, I'm sorry to mess up your studio. There's blood everywhere.
Oh, goodness.
Not really, no liability issues. Don't worry.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, no, it's totally quick. Fine.
But, I mean, I think you have, I'm grateful for that. And I think that's a quality I have in myself and that I was actually talking with my partner with today of like, you know, was afraid of you because I'm open and I'm all in. And a lot of times that's not safe. But I'm like, shit, that's still, I'm like, all the way I am, that's I'm going to get hurt because it's just like right there.
Yeah, yeah, hard on the sleeve problem.
Yeah, I don't view it as a problem. I'm grateful for it. It just means I feel
a lot of feels sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I stopped being opposed to it in myself in a way. It's just very frustrating when you interact with people who very clearly are uncomfortable with mm-hmm. that quality in other people, because then it makes that heart on your sleeve sort of shrivel up and get really scared of being yeah. exposed. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people are really uncomfortable with, you know, other people sharing their emotions freely. Some of the people listening might be uncomfortable.
I think being real, I think connection, I think to these moments of making eye contact with strangers and all of a sudden they're like, sorry, or they look away quickly and it's like horrifying. I'm like, I don't know if it's like disconnection or like community, like protection of like, you're not in my community. So I don't know what it is, but it's something that I think is a problem of being afraid of someone being like, just like in your face. And you kind of have to then be like, okay, am I going to accept your humanity and this connection in this moment, or am I gonna like, and then yeah, the heart responds yeah. in kind.
yes
yes. So let's move into our last little segment, which we like to end our shows with, rapid fire series of questions.
Ooh. That sounds fun.
And I will start us off with my new favorite question. What's your favorite brag? So you're at a party and someone's like, Lana, what's your favorite brag?
Well, I mean, probably nobody would ask it like that. But my favorite brag is I was published in The New Yorker.
Ooh.
And wow. The New Yorker shouts and murmurs online. So it doesn't count exactly the same
no,
way.
No. Don't keep talking.
This reminds me of an episode of 30 Rock where Liz Lemon gets like an award. But it's like, yeah, I'm getting an award from lifetime.com/.
Backslash dash underscore.
Exactly. Yeah.
Slash.
But no, it's still, you were still in The New York. New Yorker, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
That's legitimate.
Listening.
You had a shout and murmur.
I did. Online. Yes, well, I had a daily shout, technically.
Ooh.
I missed this. I'll have to go. I found that sometimes I end up doing research after the show because I'm like, what, all these things we talked about. So, great. Nasa, do you have a favorite brag?
Oh, my goodness.
This week.
Oh, right. I think I brought this up last time, although I don't think on the show. But my favorite brag by far is that it was just in passing and it wasn't for real. But I'm pretty sure Sir Patrick Stewart gave me a quick kind of joking hit on one time. I worked for a place. At a place where his vocal teacher worked. And so he came in to get some vocal training before he went to, this was when, oh my goodness, my inability of speaking. Oh God, it's a Brecht show.
Oh, I'm
Waiting for Godot.
With Serena, with Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen. And he had come to do some vocal work with his vocal coach. And as he was leaving, he was like, I forget exactly, and I should remember this because it was like one of huge, but it was also just like a little bit of a like flirt, like, well, if you're here, and I was just like, oh my God.
I am here. I'm right here.
And he left, and I just like told everyone, I was like, he was amazing and kind of flirted with me, like not real. It was obviously just a nice, he was in a good mood and just like made a like passing joke of like, well, aren't you pretty? But it was still just like a huge moment for me in my life.
Well, I mean, it is Sir Patrick Stewart.
It's Sir Patrick Stewart.
So my favorite brag is that I am the queen of eclectic living situations. And then I like to follow that with a list of some of them.
Please.
I've lived in a treehouse. I've lived in a greenhouse. I've lived in my car. I've lived in my friend's unfinished basement. I lived in a cabin at Sundance. I can keep going. I'm the queen. But
you are.
My living situations have been really normalized recently.
Is that disappointing?
And I think it's a little bit less exciting to be like, yeah, I live in an apartment and I pay rent every month. And it's just like you.
Yeah, sorry.
But New York's, I've realized that New York is a little bit, it doesn't really have just extra space and people don't just have tree houses that say, yeah, go live in the treehouse.
No, usually the people who are not living in apartments are doing it because they
don't have a choice.
Don't have a choice, exactly. Yeah. They don't usually seem that happy with their lot.
I feel like living in New York is living in an eclectic
it is.
Location.
So it's maybe that's a good, it's just, well, I mean, just like the rat race of like
the hustle and all the rules, and people used to make careers out of, people still make careers out of not paying rent. And then like landlords, there's like rules and guidelines and buying houses. And like, it's just like madness.
And also what you make do with, like my first apartment had no kitchen and I was still considered like, one of the luckiest people to be living in this apartment.
You're like, I have a hot plate.
Yeah, I'm like, I got a hot plate and I have a huge ass room. And everyone was like, man, and you live alone? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, if you lived alone, okay, yeah, totally it is amazing.
It's so funny because we're all sardines and we all live with people. And I like living with people, but I also like my own space a lot. And I have to know that I have it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Anyways, Nisa, would you like to do a rapid fire question?
I'm going to go with a normal one, which is like so beyond me, which is if we were to enter your house, what book would be like on display, either like coffee table or eye length in a bookshelf?
Oh, there are a lot of them. But on the coffee table, I currently have, so there are two books. There's one that's called I Could Pee on This, which is a book of cat poems. That a friend gave me for my birthday last year, for my 25th birthday. And then, so it goes from like really lowbrow to really highbrow. The other coffee table book that I have right now is a collection of like the best libraries in the world and photos of them. And it's gorgeous.
Ooh, can I come look at that?
Yes,
come next
over
week after you're not
kitty.
Busy.
Yes.
Come visit I miss having a kitten.
I know. Come visit Meg.
Except your kitten doesn't fill that
really
void.
Sad about my cat. It's okay.
How many conversations are we going to have about your cat? Endless. He will attack you.
I don't know if you can see. He attacked for no
reason. No reason.
Today he attacked me because I walked by him. I didn't ignore him. That happens sometimes, but I just walked by him and he decided he hadn't attacked
he
me.
He likes exposed skin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, but I was wearing pants.
And he likes to show that he can get through it with his claws.
Yeah. There was one time I have like battle scars on my arm right
which
now.
Which is
like
sad because when he's affectionate, I'm like, fuck off. I'm like,
know,
do
I'm
not.
Way.
No, we're not friends.
But I have battle
I'm not gonna
scars
touch you.
From when I walked by him in the morning and didn't give him attention, and he went at me. And there's like six scars
so
on my arm.
So I'm assuming your cat is nice because most of the cats I meet are very nice.
She's a bit of a fraidy cat, but she's very nice. Mm. Although she does like to do that thing where she like will wrap herself around your arm and then kick at it.
Oh, I love that.
But I just found out it's really creepy. The reason they do that is because when they are doing that with actual prey, their back legs... they're killing it and they're disemboweling. The
Ooh,
creature.
That's terrifying.
Oh, that's...
Fun fact.
That would do that.
Yeah. See, to be fair to my crazy cat, he's bigger than average, than an average cat. So whereas when my kittens used to do that to me, it would be adorable. But when he does that to me, it hurts.
Yes, that is the difference.
Nah, cool.
Yeah.
Wait, so you have to answer the question now.
If you were to walk into... Oh my gosh. Well. if you were to walk into my room, it would just have shit everywhere because I... like just started pouring things out before I came here. If you dug through the shit, you'd find a huge stack of library books to be read. And I don't think there's any books on my bed or like out. Because I've been staying with my super hot boyfriend who's new and exciting. And if you go to his house, then there's a book about botany because I've been reading about botany.
Cool. Cool.
Yes. So my sleeping arrangement and life exposure. And I've been reading on the Kindle a lot, too, so it's, like, not as visual.
But also just shout out to Swan's super hot boyfriend.
Yeah.
Who I've yet to meet and approve of.
He's cute.
Okay. Not that I have any power of approval, but I still like to pretend that I do.
Yeah, right.
Your turn.
Okay, so mine is a bit more challenging because I go through books that I have every intention of reading, and then they just end up kind of collecting. So right now I have a biography on Steve Martin. Would be
I read that. It's fun.
I know. I love Steve Martin. He's one of my favorite. And then just to do a fun little plug here, because why not? Although I'm carrying it with me, it would also be on display. The play that I am currently in called The Theater Made in Paradise.
Yes.
Very
I have
cool.
Postcards here, and hopefully we'll be able to interview people.
If you email us at inkandworm@gmail.com, I'll send you a postcard.
This is not the right one. This postcard is for a smoke shop.
Behind
okay.
the Stella Ortiz. Ortiz.
Oh, okay. Oh, ooh, okay. Cool. Thank you.
So that would
now
be...
I have a bookmark.
Yeah.
Also.
I know. Sometimes I'm like, yeah. quick plug for me. I leave my business card
in any library book I've ever read. So
smart.
That's clever.
Yeah.
You have to hunt for them, but they're there. But I also wonder, like, do they shake them out when they get the books?
And, I don't know.
Like,
they do not.
No, they do, I think, because
I
just saw this.
I've found scraps in library books.
I find scraps all the time in library books.
So I wonder
books.
If it's how often it's read.
Receipts.
Or something. I don't know.
It might also depend on the library.
Like, cute little letters and like notes to self and like shopping lists. I'm like,
I need to start using the library again. I just get all of my books
before they come out. Yeah, and people give them to you.
Yeah,
so
I get books
like
for free. So
super
that's
broke. So the library is my jam.
I work at a school library half a day out of the week, I guess. So I just take from them, and then hopefully nobody from my school is listening. But I always return books late. And then I just clear my files.
Oh, of course, because you work there. So
I deserve this. I'm not going to pay the extra dollar, whatever.
Hey, if you don't get it's not a store, so you don't get an employee discount.
Right.
So it's the perks. Sort of perk.
Like, I can take classes there for free. So they're like $600. Why can't I just have a book out for a week?
Exactly.
Than I'm supposed to.
Rules. Ilana and Nisa, I'm curious, best writing piece of writing advice you've ever been given?
Don't listen to any writing advice. Was the best writing advice I've ever heard.
See, so I'll answer the question next. I write more when I'm reading about writing. So for me, that's the value, but I never hold on to anything.
Right.
And I do something until it works, try it, whatever, but then I'm constantly like reframing.
I guess don't take any writing advice as gospel is more correct.
I think for me, it's always been, and this is just because I have the hardest time with this, it's just write it. Just write it. It's going to suck. Just write it. And then you can go through and take care and revise. And but I'm always so stuck up with like, I can't get it to go the same way it is in my head. I don't know how to do it. So then I just stop.
The inner voice, as Neil Gaiman said, a word. And then another word.
And butt and chair is another one of his sayings.
Yeah. Yes.
Just put your butt in a chair and write.
Yeah. Just be there. Show up. Write.
Exactly.
Another interesting thing that I read about in the same book I mentioned, Unstuck, and I don't know the author, Janie Annie somebody, PhD. It was readable, really anecdotal. But she said write with two pieces of paper out or write with two word options like open, and she said write what you're writing and then write that voice. So I think of that as like the meditation of writing is like sit there, give words to your inner voice and just like put that down as you're writing, and like, this is shit, nobody's gonna read, like whatever, then you are aware of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes just by paying attention, like just by like looking, it's like, oh, never mind.
Yep.
I just always have this problem where I think in pictures, and so when I'm trying to write it out, I'm like, I don't know the word for this. So then I'll just have to like, I always have a parenthesis of like, go back and revise this. I mean something more along these lines, but I can't get it together.
I can't tell you how many times I've given someone a piece of writing and they're like, what was this blurb? And I was like, oh, that was a note to myself.
Oh, totally.
They're like, okay, I thought it was a little disjointed. It didn't make sense. I was like, yeah.
Oh, my partner texted me to tell me that I sound so good. That's so sweet.
Thanks, partners.
Thank you.
Speaking of partners, my boyfriend said, haha, best shout ever.
Aww. Oh, live reactions over here. I love it.
Well, my boyfriend doesn't listen
Crickets.
To this.
I hope he listens.
He has listened once. So he has listened.
You should just surreptitiously like send him the link to this week so that he can feel guilty about it.
Feel the burn.
Be like, hey, babe, I couldn't say anything because there was nothing to say. Just kidding. Like, and let's throw out one more question, Nisa.
Okay. So I'm going to go with one that's whatever. What is your favorite like guilty pleasure a la Netflix podcasts, etc.?
Ooh, okay. Law and Order SVU, because
that's common.
Yes,
it is common, but it's a common one that
people cringe when they say it.
Because as a diehard like, you know, feminist, sex positive person, I have all of these mixed feelings about it. Because on the one hand, it's sort of like women bashing torture porn, and on the other hand, though, if you actually watch the show, it's kind of ahead of its time in some things, and deals with a lot of real issues in a sort of campy way that is trying not to be campy, but totally comes out as campy. Yeah. But the reason that I sort of, as I've matured, the reason why it's my guilty pleasure has changed. So now it's because it, in the show, you get more assholes into jail.
Yes.
And get them real, like, the time that they serve is so ridiculously higher than the time actual rapists and abusers serve that it's sort of like, yeah. I'm watching this to see the justice that doesn't exist in the world.
And, like, when they aren't able to catch somebody, it breaks their heart.
Right, yeah. Exactly. It's, none of them become too cynical, ever.
They also aren't like, well, I mean, what were you doing? It's always like, oh, this is so heartbreaking. I'm like, wow.
Well, I think that's... you know, kind of revisiting something we mentioned earlier, I think that's why pushing issues and diversity and offending people is so valuable in the media and in culture, because that's the only way you're going to provoke conversations that actually change things.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yours.
Bob's Burgers. Like, oh, if I'm so alone, that's, I'm like, I'll just throw in a quick episode of Bob's.
Kristen Shaw.
I also watch nature documentaries.
So. How is that guilty though? That's just so highbrow cool.
Oh no, and I doodle, and I call it scribbling because then it doesn't have to look like anything.
She's really amazing. It's kind of obnoxious that she doesn't know she's an artist yet, but it'll come. What about
because
you,
someone will give me permission, and sometime in the future it will stick. But not right now.
Okay, yes. That's fine. You're still Swan, who is not an artist.
Exactly.
Swan, the future to be known as artist. The artist's future to be known as Swan. So, yes. Now continue.
I have far too many guilty pleasures.
Pokemon
I'm still Go? On, well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah? What level?
I'm level 17, but I haven't gotten the, like, boost from the set, from the level up yet.
Oh, I hate
it's really
that you
annoying.
Take the time with that. I'm level 18 right now.
Nice,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, working towards 19. But yes.
Yes.
So Pokemon Go, I'm still watching Frasier.
Frasier, that's an interesting one.
I have a weird crush on Niles.
Okay, no, that is totally a thing. He's adorable.
I love that this is happening. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
This is the second time I've brought this up. And it's not like a crush, like I find myself romantically attracted. I just like want to like give him a blowjob is the thing that I keep saying. Just because of how like repressed he is, I'm like, that would be a lot of fun.
Really? I feel like I would want to peg him, anything. Like, go all the way with the Ooh. Discomfort. Like, just make him be your bitch.
Wow. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, I'm still watching Frasier. What else am I? Oh, Stranger Things, I think is the name of that show.
I just started it last night.
It's
no spoilers.
It's so good. I won't. I'm only halfway through it because my schedule is absurd.
And you started it and you will keep watching it?
Yes, it's incredible.
It's very good. I still, though, have a problem that every show I've ever seen set in the 80s never actually does 80s female hair right. And it has held true with this one. I got very angry about it.
Really? I thought the mom's hair was good.
The mom's hair and the...
The friend's hair
is great, but nobody else.
No, the guys, the boys, the little
boys. No, the boys
hair is
always
okay.
get it on point.
Oh,
but
right,
they
the
never
women's,
do
yeah,
women's
yeah.
right. Like, the lead, the like love interest female. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I just
No, I like that you put on Leonard Cohen though.
We're running the really intense song.
Yes,
very serious. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. You've been listening to Ink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn. If you tuned in somewhere in the middle, you can catch the rest of the podcast this week on my website, or you can access it through Radio Free Brooklyn website, both of them, Ink and Worm. You'll find me. Look for me and you'll find me. And I'll leave you with a word, take it or leave it. I'm coming up with it on the spot, and I don't have anything. So
Anagram.
I love it. Thank you. Anagram.
Thank you.
I'm getting fixed. I'm back on Boogie Street.